Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. An important part of BLS and post-arrest care is management of the patient's airway. During an arrest, we perform a head tilt chin lift to help lift the patient's tongue off the back of their throat. To assist with keeping the tongue off the back of the throat, an oral pharyngeal airway, or OPA, may have been inserted. There may be times when a patient cannot maintain their own airway and still have a gag reflex, preventing insertion of an oral airway. Remember that a gag reflex is a contraindication to use of an oral airway. If a patient gags while attempting to insert an oral airway, stop. An alternative to an oral airway is the use of the nasopharyngeal airway, or NPA. Like the oral airway, the nasal airway helps to keep the tongue off the back of the throat, but because the airway is inserted through the nose, it is less likely to stimulate the gag reflex and is better tolerated by semi-conscious patients. Some examples of when we may choose to use the NPA include patients who have been sedated for cardioversion, patients that are successfully defibrillated and obtain ROSC before an advanced airway was placed, or patients that may be suffering conditions such as stroke, diabetes, or intoxicated patients that have a decreased level of consciousness yet still have a gag reflex. While there aren't any absolute contraindications for use of the NPA, they should be used with caution in patients with suspected basal or skull fracture. Patients with severe head trauma, bilateral black eyes, or bruising behind the ear over the mastoid process should be suspected of possible skull fracture. Just like an oral airway, nasal airways also come in a variety of sizes and should be measured before insertion. The length of the airway should be measured from the tip of the patient's nose to their earlobe. Using an NPA that is too short won't hold the tongue off the back of the patient's throat, and using one that is too long could end up in the esophagus, leading to gastric distension, or the larynx, causing laryngeal spasm. In addition to the length, the diameter of an NPA needs to be measured before insertion as well. The outer diameter of an NPA must be smaller than that of the patient's nostril. Many people use the nail bed of the patient's small finger as a guide to help them to determine the diameter as they're sizing the airway. The airway should be lubricated with a water-soluble lubricant prior to insertion and inserted gently to avoid soft tissue damage that could cause bleeding into the airway. To further reduce injury to the patient, the bevel of the tip should be placed against the patient's septum while inserting. Because of the shape of the NPA and because of the bevel, we usually start with the right nostril. If resistance is felt, the airway can be slightly wiggled or turned into place if needed. If resistance is still felt, the airway can be inserted into the opposite nostril. If it's inserted into the left nostril, the airway will need to be turned 180 degrees once the airway is past the nasal septum in order to be in anatomic position. Once inserted, the patient should be monitored closely. O2 can be administered to a patient with an NPA. As well, patients can be ventilated with a BVM, have end-tidal CO2, and undergo suctioning if needed. I hope that you found this review of the nasal airway helpful. Thanks for listening, and best of luck with your class.